Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Oh, man. Second and goal. Penix, end zone, touchdown! Drake London! And Penix with a bullet!
Ian Eagle on the call of the Falcons beating the Commanders yesterday. Washington falls to 2-2. They're 2-0 at home at Northwest Stadium, where they won 9 of 11, but on the road at Lambeau Field and in Mercedes-Benz yesterday in Atlanta. It's been ugly, and they have fallen to 0-2 to even their record. Welcome back to G&D. The show is brought to you exclusively by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murad.
Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration, their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
So, Danny, it sounded to me in our opening salvo in hour one like you are really upset and angry. Week four at 2-2, having played half of these games without your MVP and your starting quarterback, they split these two games 1-1. I don't want to put words in your mouth, so I'll just ask the question. We're going to talk, are you worried or are you waiting a week? Like, are you starting to feel like, uh-oh, this team's not as good as maybe I had anticipated? Or are you kind of going to wait and see in a week-to-week league what it looks like against the Chargers? Maybe you get to 3-2 and you're in a good spot to go on a little run. But, like, your animus or venom toward the performance, was that just based on how ugly it was yesterday, how bad these few weeks have been defensively? Because it feels to me like you are, like, more at Salty Danny than I would have thought by the end of September this year for a 500 team.
Yeah, it's not the offense. Even though the offense hasn't been what we are used to, they're still eighth in the league in points. You know what I mean? Even without Jaden Daniels playing great, even with Marcus Mariota in the lineup for a couple of games, we're not going to be as good. They're not 2-2 because of their offense. So I've been screaming for a year and four games now. This is the issue. They don't defend the pass very well. And everybody wanted to focus on the run defense. What happened last year to me was they realized they were a disaster trying to cover people with Forbes and St. Juice and everybody else, so they backed off as much as they could. They were willing to give up 7-8 yards a carry at times because they knew the alternative was way worse. A.J. Brown could torch them whenever they felt like it. Zay Flowers in the first half against Baltimore torched them. They can't cover, and they knew it last year. And for whatever reason, they decided the best, cheapest way for us to go do this, to fix it, is to get into good down and distances by being better on first down. It was an idea, certainly, but the flaw is still there, and it's probably worse now that they've doubled down on Benjamin St. Lattimore. He's washed. So to me, what was going to happen this year, the reason I didn't predict them to have anywhere near as good a season was they're playing better quarterbacks, playing better offenses, and you don't get to live the charm life where Devontae Smith drops a pass in a game that Kenny Pickett is playing it, or Jalen Hurts doesn't always get hurt. You don't get a Hail Mary every time. You don't get the benefit of every lucky break that they got last year on the magical carpet ride, which was awesome. But I'm telling you, everybody's expectations were out of whack, and this is all happening, and I'm watching the mudslide happen. I'm going, hey, there's danger at the bottom of the hill, and everyone's going, ah, it's still up there. It's not a big deal. We're watching it happen right now where they can't stop anybody. Doesn't matter if and when Jaden Daniels comes back to
I guess for me, the question in the bigger picture then would be, are they at a point where the expectations are high enough or what is needed for them to feel like they've done their jobs? The bar has risen so much after last year that being 2-2 through four when you've played half your games without the best player on the team, Jaden Daniels, to your point, it hasn't been an offensive problem. But still, if I was to have told you before the season started, they're not going to have Jaden Daniels for two of their first four games, you'd probably say, all right, they're at best going to be 3-1, and they're probably going to be 2-2. Now, that's easier before you watch it than seeing how it's happened defensively. But it seems like maybe the bar is high enough for you now where the expectation has risen that, like, you know, in the past, when you're 2-2 through four, you got a chance to get to 3-2 on the road this weekend. It's not a screaming, ranting time just yet. But I feel that in the fan base a little bit. There is an urgency. And I think it is because of a dozen wins last year or the NFC Championship game last year, which was fluky. You know, it was not authentic. They had a couple of big playoff wins in Detroit, in Tampa Bay. But that's kind of what I'm trying to drill down on, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense.
Are we at a point now as a program where people should be losing their minds? Like yesterday, people are calling for Joe Witt to be fired. And I'm not talking about one or two people on Twitter. I'm talking about, like, the pulse of the fan base was heads need to roll. This defense is a joke. This coordinator, yada, yada, yada. And it's like, all right, so people really got comfortable as a 12-win NFC Championship game team, I guess. Whereas my point was, that's not authentic to what this team is. There are long ways from that. The quarterback had to play like an MVP, and you needed, as you said, to be one of the most lucky teams in the NFL, as we documented all offseason, to kind of get there at the end of the year without a single real signature quality win against a winning team before the playoffs started. And then you went out on the road and you won two games at the right time.
So to me, last year was wonderful and awesome. I was there too. I had fun, right? I know you did. I know the whole fan base did. What's different, though, about it is the standard isn't necessarily, I now expect 12 wins and NFC Championship game. That's unrealistic, right? You hope for those sorts of things. You hope you're building something. This was they inherited leftover Ron Rivera and the Marty's and Marty refuse. They drafted a couple of people. Mostly it was Jaden Daniels and a few veterans that came over because Dan Quinn's popular and everyone likes Adam Peters. And, you know, you got your Bobby Wagners, your Zach Ertz's for one more ride. Last year was charmed. My point was this offseason, this was the time where you go, let's correct the flukes. Let's not count on fluky crap to happen again. And let's get a lot better. And the areas where they addressed or the areas where they focused or could have focused, they didn't get better. And they're worse in the secondary. They're worse at receiver than they were probably
the end
of last year.
I don't think their personnel is worse.
I do.
Well, their corner room's not worse. I mean, it just isn't.
Based on what?
Based on Trey Amos being better than any corner they had at any point last year. Based on the fact that Benjamin St. Juste is no longer on the roster, nor is Emmanuel Forbes, who was starting at the beginning of last season. Both of those guys can't play in the league.
Sam Ristill has regressed mightily. I'll take either of those other guys over Lattimore at this point, making a fraction
silly.
Of the money.
You wouldn't.
I 100% would.
At their money.
At a fraction
maybe.
Of the money,
okay.
I would.
But I thought you were just talking about the overall talent.
No, I mean, none of them are any good, but they're not better.
Jonathan Jones is a better veteran bench player than they had last year. They still have
Noah, who has the same role.
As depth, who doesn't play and started last year, is indicative of kind of how much better they've gotten at the position that he's been pushed down the depth chart. Where they bet wrong so far is on Lattimore, for who they paid. But having Amos, who is playing at a really, really high level as kind of last year's Mikey Sanders still, you now kick him into the nickel, and he's had a bad September for sure, reacclimating at that position. But you would not look at last year's depth chart right now with Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juste compared to this year's depth chart and say they aren't better at corner. Where they invested. Now, again, you don't have to like that the Lattimore decision was wrong, but they paid a free agent corner, essentially $19 million, and they drafted a guy in the second round and pushed everybody else down the depth chart.
In terms of on paper, what you're saying makes sense.
But that's what I'm talking about. The plan in the offseason, like, they look at this and they go, okay, we paid Lattimore. They like him. So far, they've been wrong. They draft Amos, who probably should have gone around earlier. He's been awesome. And Sanders still is a more natural nickel than a boundary corner. So it shouldn't be expected that you kick him inside and he struggles as much as he has.
Which I understand. I guess the point I'm trying to make is, and I need a number to quantify this. I don't have one. Guys are more open now than they've ever been. You see what I'm saying? So I understand.
I think they were pretty open last year. They're giving up the same number of yards per game. Yards per attempt is worse this year. But if you look at, like, a lot of the metrics from last season to this year, I mean, as bad as it seems right now through four games, and maybe the Giants are saving their bacon in week one.
That's what it is to me.
The numbers were worse last year at this point.
Which I understand. I guess just the eye test. No one's ever been more open than Trey Tucker. No one's ever been more open than Tucker Kraft. A lot of Tuckers involved right there, by the way. Like, no matter how bad it was last year, where they gave up everything and were terrible when they were dedicating everything to covering the pass, nobody's been that clearly open in this season and change now with Joe Witt and Dan Quinn and company. So to me, like, I understand on paper, yeah, I like Trey Amos, by the way. I think he's good. My point is, it's not better. In fact, I think it's worse right now than it was at any point last year when it was their biggest weakness on defense. So I understand the point about the design. I need them to see it before I do. And this has always been my complaint with people that are professionally compensated to make these decisions beforehand. You need to know the most. You need to be really good at it. This is wrong. Like, what's happening now is evidence of incorrect thinking, incorrect scheme. I don't know what it is exactly.
Right.
I watched the game like everyone else. I watched a guy that can't do it at this level do it at this level in Michael Penix. He has never done this before. He torched them. Guys are so open. And that's my angst, where I don't see how that gets corrected.
So I guess if we're just talking about the Atlanta game, which obviously we're not, but in this world where we are, I think everything is perfectly reasonably said, which is, like, that was such an egregiously bad performance with zero answers in coverage. That's not how I felt in the Giants game at all. The Raiders game, Geno ended up putting up numbers, mostly in the second half, some of them in garbage time, and it was when they'd lost, I think it was five defensive backs in that game to injury, if you remember.
I do.
Like, Tyler Owens was on the field with Jeremy Reeves and Antonio Hamilton, who was fresh off the practice squad. I'm literally looking at my flip card in the press box going, who in the hell is that? Oh, that's the guy they signed this week. Like, that was the end of that game. So I give him a little bit of an out on the Trey Tucker, you know, going nuts against their practice squad. But sure, the numbers are the numbers. This particular performance, there's zero excuses. Amos practiced all week. Lattimore's been healthy the entire time. Like, he's getting worked. And while you didn't have Butler, you didn't have Will Harris, and you didn't have Jonathan Jones, like three of the members of the secondary that would have been playing, you're getting banged up. That's the league. I mean, just that is what it is. There's going to, especially when you go older, not that that was the problem in the secondary, there are going to be injuries. You're going to have to overcome that. So I agree in the Atlanta thing. I don't think it's been as bad as it was this Sunday all season long. That said, it's ugly right now. There's no doubt about it.
Where we'll disagree, it sounds like, is I think it has been. And the only thing that saved their bacon was they played two teams that were determined to run the football in Green Bay and the Raiders. The reason the pass numbers weren't outrageous in the first half or early on was because they got to get the ball to Genty, slam it into the line of scrimmage. He gets tackled, big touch in the backfield on whatever it's 14 out of the 17 carries, or I forgot the numbers now, but I looked them up and researched them at the time. And Green Bay's handed the ball to Josh Jacobs a million times. They could throw it whenever they wanted to. They are torching people through the air regardless of who the personnel is. So you're right, at the end of that Raiders game, there were some injuries. It wasn't as if Tucker was covered in the first half either when he was running the same thing that Tucker Kraft was running against them a million times over.
No, but I think if people watch that game, they would acknowledge that the last quarter of that game is when the Raiders threw it all over them.
That is when that happened.
And that was when they had four defensive backs out via
yes.
injury.
And the point that I'm making is they could have done it for four quarters, but they had to get it to Genty.
But I'm just talking about what happened.
Totally. And the Packers did and the Falcons did. So to me, this is where it's broken. And I don't know how it gets better when you're playing Justin Herbert. I understand that their pass pro might be compromised, but when you got Mahomes on the schedule, you got Goff and company on the schedule, you got plenty of quarterbacks that are going to carve your ass up, and I don't know where the fix is coming from.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Yeah, so I guess to get back to the original question, right? The 10,000-foot view of this thing. Because I'm now, while playing devil's advocate, it feels like having to take a side that I don't necessarily subscribe to, which is not to defend this defense, which has been really bad at times, and for the most part has been a disappointment through a quarter of the season. But I guess my question, and we can pose this to people, I'm trying to take temperatures here, at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067, as the team is 2-2, I'm a little surprised with how quickly the meters getting turned up for anger, frustration, vitriol, you know, nerves, anxieties, whatever that is. And I here's what I think is actually happening. I think I need to recalibrate the NFL in 2025. And what I mean by that is the Falcons get shut out by the Panthers, and last week in Atlanta they're talking about, does Michael Penix need to be benched? Do they need to fire their offensive coordinator, who I actually think is not very good, but that's beyond the point.
Mm-hmm.
Raheem Morris, who's terrible with clock management. In both of the Falcons games since last year that Washington's played, end of the game and then end of the first half in this game, he's had some of the worst clock management I've ever seen. But like you think about it, it's 1 week where it's 30 to nothing and the Wolves are at the doors and people want heads on platters. And I just think this is the league. It's a roller coaster. We ride the roller coaster. Week one against the Giants, oh my God, their defense is amazing. It's unbelievable. This is going to be an incredible group. They shove it on the Raiders the way that they did. Look at this defense. And it's just, we're just going up and down on the hurler at King's Dominion a little bit. I'm just surprised with how quickly it happened, I guess. But that's what I want to know is, are you guys worried? Are you waiting to see what they get right, what the adjustments are, and what this looks like a week or two from now?
So if they had lost this week, say I'm just making up numbers, 20-19, right, where the offense is limited because they don't have McLaurin. They don't have, you know, the majority of their players. No Jaden Daniels. Yeah, okay. It's Deebo Samuel and a group of running backs and old Zach Ertz trying to put some points on the board. They move the football okay, but end up not quite having enough. I don't think the reaction would be what it is. But even in their wins, non-Giants game division, it's a, you beat a couple, and I guess talking about the Giants too, you beat a couple of bad teams, you took advantage of their badness, good for you. They've been on the road twice. Green Bay destroyed them, especially this way, and Atlanta just did the same thing. The pathology for their losses has been the exact same. Offense not really on rhythm, not really doing their thing. Maybe not quite yet, but probably not enough time on the grass. They're banged up, yada, yada, yada. Defensively, oh my God, they can't stop anything through the air. And I think because people are seeing that now, that's the extra layer of vitriol. Because you're right about up and down roller coaster. I mean, that's the league. You're right. It is week to week. We react
just more
in a huge
than even
way.
I can remember, like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, certainly when I was a kid, you know, there was nothing like this. But even I think the difference now of like week to week, and it's the 24/7 broadcast networks, and it's the shouty shows, yeah, and it's the terrible topics on the bottom of Chirons. It's all changed the culture a little bit, I think. Also, maybe red zone culture of like, we only see the good. It's like looking at other people's Instagrams.
Mm-hmm.
We see the best plays of the other guys, and we don't see the time where they miss the block or they miss the throw. I don't know. But I'm not even saying anybody's wrong. I guess I'm just surprised. Like, coming in today, as we're chopping this up, like, you would think they were 0-4 or 1-3 the way we're talking about this thing. And they haven't had the guy that made it all right for half of these games now. Not why they've lost the games, and I get that's part of the discussion, but they had games like this defensively last year that they won because Superman was at quarterback. And so a super banged up team is 2-2, has won at home and then lost, and then won at home and then lost, and is kind of riding the roller coaster early in the season. And I'm just a little bit surprised with how quickly people are kind of calling for changes after last year. That's all.
I smell what you're cooking. Yeah, I mean, last year, while this is happening, again, the circumstances matter a ton to me. It may not matter to everyone else. But Jaden Daniels comes in into a flawed operation, a bunch of, you know, older vets on one-year deals, and they make this magic thing happen. This is supposed to be the, all right, we got away with that last year, but watch this. Watch how much better we are. Watch how shored up everything is. And there is bad or worse in some of these trouble spots. Most specifically, again, I keep hammering it, the pass defense. That's what's so infuriating, I think, to a lot of folks. Is when you walked in here, the cupboard was bare. You know, there are no first-round picks on your roster from the previous regime. That's inexcusable. That's impossible to dig out of. And yet somehow they did it. And I understand you may not get to win 12 games to go to the NFC title game again. But you can't be the third worst in the league when someone drops back to throw, right? After an offseason. If that happened last year, you go, I get it, man. What are they supposed to do? They can only, how many draft picks do you have? One of them had to be on Jaden Daniels. That's the right pick. I'd make it 1,000 times out of 1,000. I don't know how you fill out the rest of the secondary. You had the offseason to get better, and they're a disaster in that regard through a couple of games with a bunch of good quarterbacks on the schedule. So, yeah, you're right. Again, I think both are true. It is week to week. People are overreacting. That's what we always do. You're right about, you know, the 24/7 cycle. But the other part is the, oh my God, this is bad or worse, and where's it going to get better? And they had a chance to fix it this time, whereas they didn't last year.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.